Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome to Left Play. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, Strong and Powerful Corey Kupfer. Corey, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go. Corey is a deal maker. He is an attorney, a speaker. He is the host of the Deal Quest podcast, and he is the author of Authentic Negotiating, Clarity, Detachment, and Equilibrium. Corey, excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, thanks, George. So, I am happily married to a wonderful entrepreneur, fellow entrepreneur, my wife, Ra, who has a couple of companies of her own. We love to travel, and we're involved in various social causes, really mainly in the areas of empowerment and growth and equity and justice. In my law firm, which is my main business, we work with entrepreneurial and large companies to help them grow. Corporate attorneys, we do a lot of contract work and all, you know, everything from startups and that kind of stuff. But we do a lot of deal work, a lot of M&A, joint ventures, strategic alliances, all kinds of cool structuring and strategy to help companies grow. And then, yeah, I've got this speaking training consulting company where we got the book and the podcast and a professional speaker. And yeah, that's the overview.
I love it. So you help businesses grow through making deals. It strikes me that, well, is an ounce of cure worth an ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure, Corey?
Yeah, I mean, so listen, obviously anything you do in business has risk and doing deals the wrong way can actually really hurt your business, no question. But I think actually the other, you know, I think we tend to, in fact, a lot of people in my profession, certainly, because we're trained this way, over-index on the risk side and forget the opportunity side. And we also forget the risk of not taking advantage, you know, of lost opportunity or opportunity cost. And one of the fundamental premises of the work I do and why I have the GoQuest podcast, for example, is that every company is trying to grow organically, right? Through sales and marketing and providing great products and services. And you need to do that. You have to be able to get a customer, a client, or another one. But a much smaller percentage of the companies actually grow through deals. And if you look at the most successful companies, they grow both ways, organically and inorganically, right? And they find joint venture partners. They do acquisitions. They license. So it's not just M&A. It's not just capital raising. There are all kinds of, you know, online affiliate deals, sponsorship deals. There's all kinds of deals you can do. And my fundamental premise is that, unfortunately, many, many companies do not take advantage of that. And many successful entrepreneurs don't take advantage of that. They've had the mind shift to become an entrepreneur, but they haven't had the mind shift to become a deal maker.
Fascinating. And just in the amount of time that you've been doing the work that you've done, I imagine that the opportunities and landscape it's exploded.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's interesting because it was like everything else, it goes in cycles, you know, somewhat, right? Depending on the economy and access to capital and things like that. We've certainly had a very, very good run, and things are still very busy in the deal market, and even, you know, and who knows what's going to happen with the economy? It's very mixed, signals right now, right? But the thing that people don't realize is that deal flow doesn't necessarily slow down during bad economies, even if we're heading that way. There's usually a pause as the market adjusts, but then some of the best deal opportunities are actually, you know, in more challenging markets because they create turmoil, they create change, they create, frustration on other people's parts where they may be more open to doing a deal than when things are good, you know, when things are booming, everybody's brilliant, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I was just reading this morning that a gold company or gold miner here in the United States made an offer to buy a gold company in Australia for a kajillion dollars. And I'm sure that that kind of stuff happens all the time. If I am a successful organization, but I'm not in the habit of making deals, how do I know if I ought to?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the things that we do, well, first thing I'd say is, listen, it's one of the big reasons why I did the podcast, right? It's for people to be able to just listen. You know, we've been doing it for, you know, over 220 something episodes now. And we have deal makers on, people who've done deals, different people, and you get to hear about all different types of deals. So just, you know, again, I'm not looking to particularly push the podcast. We're doing very well with it, but it's a great way to just listen. You say, oh, wait a second, you know, oh, that person did that. That might work for my company, right? The other thing is we have conversations with people all the time. I say, listen, you know, let's have a conversation. I'll ask you some simple questions. You know, what are your frustrations? A lot of times people say to me, oh man, you know, we're looking to get into this new geography, or we're looking to launch this new product, or we have a great product that we're looking to get into this new vertical around it. And very often they're trying to do that organically. They're hiring salespeople. And you know, I'll ask them a simple question like, who already has access to that market, to that vertical, to that geography? And have you thought about doing some sort of deal with them? And very often the answer is no, I haven't, but that's a good idea. Or I have, but I don't know how to do that. Great. Then let's have a conversation about what that looks like. And what I always say to folks, the business folks, is, listen, don't worry about the structure. Don't worry about whether it's going to be a strategic alliance or a joint venture. It doesn't matter. That's what you come to people like me for, right? Figure out where you are on a business level, where you want to get to. Okay. Oh, we want to access this market. This company has access to that. We want to do some sort of arrangement with them where there's economic benefit for them, where they can introduce us into that market, their salespeople or whatever it is, maybe they'll, right? And then we can talk about the possibilities on how you might do that.
That's fascinating. And that makes a ton of sense to me, because I'm more of a what time is it kind of a person versus I wonder how this watch works. So right. That makes sense. But I imagine that obviously not everybody's like that.
Yeah, and listen, we can get into the nit-grit of how the watch works as well if you're that kind of person. But, you know, we don't even get there if you haven't thought about that as a possibility, you know, to open up the conversation that, hey, maybe there's this other way where we can grow and we don't have to build, you know, and sell everything ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. And so your book is Authentic Negotiating: Clarity, Detachment, and Equilibrium. So clarity, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So here's the premise of the book is this. Most of the books and trainings out there on negotiating are on the strategic or tactical level, right? You know, if somebody does this, then you do this. If they say this, you do this. And the problem with it, some of them are frankly very manipulative and not authentic, and they really actually don't work in the real world. Some of them are good, but they're on that level of tactics. And my assertion is that that's useful to know, but that's not where, you know, negotiating mastery really comes from and where success comes from. If you study people who are master negotiators, they do some fundamental work first. So the clarity piece, right, CDE, the C is clarity. The level of work to do to get that clarity on exactly what's acceptable to you and what's not in a negotiation in advance, to take that time. And people even skimp on the external portion of that, like, you know, what's the market, you know, going rate? What is, you know, what even the actual negotiator on the other side of the table for me, what are their objectives? But where they really skimp is this, is the other piece of it, which is the internal body of work that you have to do to say, hey, what is it that I really want? What is really important to me? Why is that important to me? Why am I even doing this deal? Right. So doing that level of clarity work is the first crucial piece, because you don't even know how to design a negotiating strategy without that. You don't know where to give and where not to give. You very often can end up doing a bad deal because you weren't clear in the first place on exactly what worked for you.
Yeah, which certainly speaks to what you were just talking about of just figure out what it is that you're trying to accomplish. What is it that you really want? Don't worry about what the actual structure is going to be or anything like that. Just get clear on this is acceptable to you. This is not acceptable. This is what success would look like, kind of a thing.
That's right. That's right.
And then the detachment piece, I imagine.
Okay. Yeah. So this is the piece that is, that's conceptually maybe easy to understand once people talk about it, but it's often the toughest to apply, right? And that is the master negotiators are never attached to the outcome, right? If I'm negotiating a deal with you, George, I should have a preference we get it done, because why am I wasting my time unless I have a preference we get it done? But ultimately, right, we're going to negotiate the deal, and we're going to get to a point where either the deal is going to work for me or it won't. And I need to be equally okay, right, with it not working or with it working. And here's the key difference. Often people will say you have to have a walkaway point, but the piece they're missing is that often for other people, that walkaway point is from a place of anger, upset, ego, judgment, etc. What I'm talking about is when you're detached, is that if I walk away from a deal with George, I'm not walking away because George is a jerk or because he's, you know, whatever, or because he doesn't get it.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
All I am aware of at that point is I've done the clarity work, and your objectives and my objectives just don't meet at this moment. So if I'm in a place of detachment, I can easily let that go. There's no hard feelings. Maybe we'll do a deal in the future. Maybe I'm not meant to do a deal now at all. Maybe there's somebody else I'm meant to do a deal with. And that ability to stay detached to the outcome, not get desperate for the deal, not get emotionally involved in the deal, not get I have sunk costs. I spent so much time on this. I have to do the deal. That is a key point in mastery, is that ability to stay detached from the outcome, have a preference, but be equally good ultimately either way.
Yeah, I can see where I can intellectually understand that, but then actually not really screw that part up. It's very, very human. And let's round it out with equilibrium.
Yeah, so the E is for equilibrium. And so that is really applies like during the negotiation process. So let's say you've done all your great work, external, internal clarity. You're really there. You go into the negotiation in a place of detachment, right? You've done whatever you do to get into that state. You've gone out for your run or meditated or prayed or did your analytics or whatever you do to get into that state, right? You know, talk to your mentor, whatever it is. Okay. Now you go into the negotiation and it's so easy to get thrown off, right? Negotiations are often a tense situation, high stakes, maybe, the other side of the table says your company's not worth half that, or, I need the product shift in half the time that you said you can do it, whatever it is. And you get triggered, right? You get triggered because your ego comes up, your upset comes up, maybe, you know, you desire to want to be liked, it triggers you back to what, you know, your father or your mother used to criticize, you know, like I'm not a psychiatrist, but we're human. Like you said about detachment, we're human. So it's so easy in the heat of the negotiation to get thrown off, to lose that equilibrium. And when you lose that equilibrium, you lose your detachment, and you often lose connection to your clarity. You're like, what did I want? Because you're emotional. So the ability to maintain that equilibrium during the negotiation is crucial. And I give some tips, on that in the book. And I actually, the last two chapters of the book are this tool called CPR, context, purpose, and results, which we may not have time to go into detail, but that's a tool that actually helps you maintain that CDE, that clarity, detachment, and equilibrium.
I like it. I appreciate it. And that makes a ton of sense. Easy to get kind of in the weeds or triggered or whatever it might be. Also very, very, very human. So the desire to just figure out what it is that you're trying to accomplish and keep doing your organic growth and do that, but there also could be opportunities to dramatically expedite that process through some kind of a deal. What are just to get into kind of the nitty gritty a little bit, what are some of the most common forms of deals that people are doing?
Yeah, I mean, so listen, the ones people probably know most about are, potentially raising capital, which is, a deal that can really accelerate things. But let's be real, that's a deal that's really only available and appropriate for a very small percentage of companies. You know, if you're a tech startup, you know, that's probably the mode you're going in. If you're most of your entrepreneurial businesses, you're probably never going to raise outside capital, you know, unless it may be from an acting business partner or a family member or whatever, right? But that's one kind of deal. Mergers and acquisitions is another, very common. It's probably the deal we do most. And some misconceptions around that is some people think it's only huge companies with big capital, a lot of capital that do M&A, but there are plenty of smaller deals that are done, whether it's, you know, even without capital, whether it's, you know, bringing in a company and somebody gets a little bit of equity in, you know, in your company or some other relationship, or you pay it out of time, out of cash flow. So those are done. But outside of the ones that people think of most, licensing, if you have any kind of content, intellectual property, that you produce, that's often underlooked. People, for example, who are consultants or trainers or things like that, often tend to sell their time for money. Like, I come in, I'll consult for you, I'll train your, you know, salespeople or whatever it is. And they're always exchanging time for money. Now, I'm always looking for opportunities for people not to have to exchange time for money. So some of the more successful trainers and consultants and speakers, in addition to their speaking and training, also have licensing they do, where they take their curriculum, they license it to a company where they can then internally train on it. Or they have a follow-up to their in-person training that's a licensed program, okay, which may be online, for example, or whatever. And then you start to get, you know, making that money, you know, that classic while you sleep, you know, money, right, where you don't have to leverage your time anymore. So licensing is underutilized. Joint ventures, strategic alliances, right? Any kind of arrangement, like I was talking about before, when you are looking for, when you have something to offer a company and they have something, what you can offer with that 1 + 1 is going to equal, you know, 3, 4, or 5. We've had people that I've done deals for, and also we talked on the podcast, who, you know, are experts in getting sponsorships, you know, or online affiliate deals. That's a very common deal nowadays in the online space, where different, you know, quote unquote influencers, or just, you know, companies or whatever, have arrangements where there's affiliate marketing arrangements. You know, I can go on. I mean, we haven't even gotten into, you know, real estate investment and deals, which is another type of deal in a totally different area. But there are so many more. I mean, if you think about the concept of a deal being an arrangement with another person or company that is not a sale, right? So that's my distinction. Salespeople often call their sales deals, and I'm not like judging that. I'm just saying that's not the kind of deal I'm talking about. So it's not a sale. It's some other kind of arrangement that's mutually beneficial. That's the fundamental basis for a deal. And then we just figure out how we structure
it. Got it. I love it. So I kind of opened by talking about how, you know, it's better to do a little bit of this work on the front end to save yourself from some pain. What are some of the other things that you say, geez, I really wish that people would do more of this or less of that?
Yeah, well, I guess so, you know, within the, and this is a little bit of a deeper cut on a couple of things we've talked about already. Within the deal-making process, I wish that people would spend more time on why, right, they're doing the deal, or why they even, well, let's even go back to a more fundamental entrepreneurial concept, even why they want to grow, right, even if it's organically, right? I have, you know, being in the entrepreneurial and, you know, growth company mode for 35 years, whether it's through my clients, you know, friends, entrepreneurs organization, I've been a member for a long time. There's always this, like, this default thing in the entrepreneurial world, you got to grow, right? You got to grow. And growth is valued, and, you know, and growth is often great, but I can't tell you how many people that I've had who've grown their companies and actually found that to be less satisfying sometimes, right? And maybe not even making that much more money or any money, right? They have more headaches, more problems, more people, more whatever, and they haven't necessarily because they, and often when that happens, it's because they've been driven by the desire to grow without a deeper underlying why, okay? And then they end up growing in ways that are less profitable on the organic side, that are not good deals, et cetera. So I wish people would spend more time on the underlying why they even want to grow. You know, is there a real reason? Are you really committed to serving? Like, the only reason I want to grow is I want to serve more people. I know that my team and I do, you know, really great work for people. We have the strategic, you know, approach, and for me, when I look at helping our entrepreneurs grow, whether it's through deals or otherwise, it comes down to me, like what motivates me is not their growth for growth's sake, but the fact that we help them achieve their personal dreams and goals. We help them send their kids to college, right? We help them, you know, create the lifestyle they want. We help them be able to, you know, give to the charities and do the, you know, the good work that where they desire to make an impact. That's what motivates me. Okay, that's something I can wake up for and say, hey, there's a reason to grow because we can impact more people. So I'd love to have people more focus on that as opposed to growth for growth's sake. So doing deals for deal's sake. You know, and look at what, you know, what their why is, what they're really going to get out of it, and end up in a place where when they do grow, there's really greater personal satisfaction than some, you know, I would say misguided ego boost temporarily, which turns out to be ultimately dissatisfying.
I think that that's such great advice right there, because I don't know if there's a stigma around the idea of having a lifestyle business, but just growing for the sake of growing and because you think you should have a bigger organization than you do is, to your point, sometimes a recipe for unhappiness and dissatisfaction. So, well, Corey, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you? Where can they pick up a copy of Authentic Negotiating?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, George. The single point of contact, the best place to go is my general website, which is coreykupfer.com, coreykupfer.com. They can really get to everything from there. They can link through the law firm, which has its own website, kupferlaw.com, but they can get to the website, they can get to the book, they can get to the podcast, they can get to my speaking, they can get to my social. I'm at Corey Kupfer on all the socials, but CoreyKupfer.com is the main hub.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Corey your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to CoreyKupfer.com. That's CoreyKupfer.com. Check out the Deal Quest podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast, pick up a copy of Authentic Negotiating and reach out to Corey and his team. Should you have a question about putting some kind of a deal together or whether or not it makes sense, any of that stuff. Thanks again, Corey.
Thank you.
And until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.